A smartphone is worthless if it's not secure, especially if you're taking that device into combat. The Defense Information Systems Agency and the military branches are testing iPhones and droids for security in the most difficult environments. They're working with a company called Good Technology. John Haremma is the Senior Vice President of Corporate Strategy at Good Technology, and he's here to talk about securing mobile devices. John, good to have you on the program. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Francis. It's my pleasure.
What is the most difficult thing that not just DOD but other federal agencies are dealing with when they're thinking about securing devices that they can then be confident to send into very sensitive, difficult environments?
Well, when you're talking about military-grade security, there's many aspects involved. You've got everything from networks to the individual devices and the platforms that they're based on, and, of course, the applications that are being used. But, you know, some of the aspects that really stand out when you're talking about mobile security relate to the fact that these devices, they're inherently used on both public and private networks. And they're also, you know, let's face it, compared to a laptop or a desktop PC, I mean, obviously they're much more likely to be misplaced, lost, or stolen simply because they're small, and that happens to all of us. So, in a military setting, also when you're thinking about specific applications and communications applications like email, there's really another critically important aspect, and that's you have to be able to guarantee the identity of the sender and recipients. I mean, you can imagine that when you're dealing with military orders, chain of command, you simply can't have a case where a bad guy can find a device, acquire a device, or otherwise impersonate a legitimate officer or soldier. So those are just a few of the aspects of security, just based on the portability, the combination with public and private networks, and the fact that if this device falls in the wrong person's hands, some very bad things can happen, even beyond just compromising the data, especially when it comes to orders, chain of command, and other things like that.
Up until now, the DOD solution has been, we'll just connect it to a CAC swiper. Some members of the military, especially as these devices get smaller and smaller, believe that that's just becoming impractical. Are there other solutions that are just as secure as swiping a secure ID card like a CAC?
Well, I think for now, I mean, certainly the standards that are out there and the DISA STIG that's being drafted, that it's based on the existing technology and CAC cards. But I think everybody is looking to see how biometrics and other of those technologies eventually can come into play here and potentially provide as strong or stronger security than what we have with CAC cards today. But right now, certainly the initial deployments of these platforms are going to be based on what's known and understood and approved so far.
You work with clients in the private sector. Your company does also. Talk about some things that maybe they're learning that federal agencies, not just in the defense environment, but other environments could maybe learn that they haven't quite picked up on yet or maybe aren't even aware of yet.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I think we are seeing, and there's been a lot of publicity lately about some pretty big and high-profile security events. So I think our commercial customers are actually looking at some of the things that the military and the federal government have been doing for years now around two-factor authentication, looking at technologies like S/MIME. I mentioned before that the importance of being able to guarantee the identity of a message sender or recipient, and that particular technology is something that allows for that. So I think we're starting to see some of our commercial customers embrace technology that previously was really used only by our DOD or federal customers.
And that's actually where I wanted to go next. When I looked at your website, which we have linked up at federalnewsradio.com, all over your website, you talked about military-grade security, and I wonder if that's not as appealing in the commercial market as understanding some commercial best practices are always appealing in the federal market.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a feedback loop there. I think one of the things that our federal customers are looking at and are adopting from our commercial customers is the opportunity to leverage what we sometimes call bring-your-own-device program. The fact is, all of us own iOS and Android devices in our personal lives, and so many of our commercial customers are able to increase their mobility, still do it with security, and actually reduce their costs at the same time by leveraging what the users already have. So we're starting to see some of our federal customers, and even within the DOD potentially, look at that model. And then on the flip side, certainly our commercial customers are coming to appreciate more and more how important security is. And so, you know, they're feeling very comfortable that if they're deploying solution from good that is good enough for the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security that they're in pretty good hands from a security standpoint.
Now, Vivek Kundra proposed taking the bring-your-own-device program, just kind of laid the groundwork for it a couple of months ago. And some of the feedback that I heard behind the scenes from the IT community and government was, that'll never happen. We're not going to let people just bring in their own stuff. But as it starts to become more and more common in the private sector, do you think there's the potential for kind of a critical mass where agencies will finally be driven that direction, even maybe though they're not really that comfortable with it, just by demand of the people who work there?
Well, I think the demand is certainly a huge part of it, but you do have to balance that against your, your security and compliance requirements. So, what we're seeing is that, again, our customers with our solution, because of the way we approach security and the way we do build in some of these military-grade controls and protections, what we're finding, in fact, is that we do have government customers that are already embracing this BYOD model. So one example of that would be the Department of Energy. And then at the state level, we recently announced that the state of West Virginia is going to be working with us to enable that for their employees. So we're seeing that both at the federal level as well as the state level, this type of program, it can be done, and it can be done with security and control in a way that everybody wins. Users get to use the devices they want. The organizations and entities involved can actually save money in many cases, and the organization becomes much more productive overall.
There are not nearly as many everybody wins scenarios as there should be in government IT, John, so it's great to hear about one. Thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you very much, Francis. I appreciate it.
John Haurema is the Senior Vice President of Corporate Strategy at Good Technology. You can read more about the work that they're doing with DISA and the military at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.